Listen carefully. When you come to Christ, because you're in His hand, right? And He cares for you. When you come to Christ, nothing just simply happens to you. Things happen for you. Think about that. When you come to Christ, things don't happen to you, like at random coincidence. Things happen for you, because God is still in control. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He's not off the throne. He knows exactly what's going on.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. When you read the Bible, you see miracle after miracle, and you may ask yourself, why don't those kinds of miracles happen today? Well, did you know miracles are all around us? In fact, you may be in the middle of one right now. Here's Pastor Wayne to explain with a message entitled, In the Midst of a Miracle.
In the midst of a miracle, something that God is doing. But before that, let me share with you a fun story. There's a lady that was a matter-of-fact kind of wife, married a humble guy, Harry, and Harry's health just began to decline and decline. And she said, Harry, get it together. And he said, I'm trying. I just can't get it together. And so she said, we got to take you to the doctor. Get in the car. And so he got in the car and went to the doctor, and the doctor gave him a battery of tests. And finally, he came back in the room and said, ma'am, could you have your husband wait in the car? I need to talk to you alone. So she said, all right, Harry, get in the car. And so he went to the car, and he said, ma'am, your husband is dying of a very rare disease called love deprivation. And she said, what? Love deprivation. And if this continues, he will die. And so she said, well, can we remedy this? He said, yes. Within weeks, it'll turn around. What you have to do, though, is when he comes home, you have to say, honey, let me take your shoes, have him sit down on the couch, give him some iced tea, give him a massage. I mean, give him affection, give him some love, give him some kisses. And the more you do this, within 2 weeks, you'll see a wonderful change. So she said, thank you, doctor. And she went out to the car, got behind the wheel, closed the door. And Harry said, honey, what did the doctor say to you? She looked at him and said, he said, you're going to die. Well, today, we want to talk about another person that's about to die, but not because he was love-starved, but because his love abounded so much for Jesus that it made men mad. We want to talk about in the midst of a miracle. I've always been intrigued by Bible times, and more specifically, the amount of miracles. And like even in the book of Acts, you take a look at the amount of miracles happening, it's like a daily occurrence. I mean, it's like flames of fire appear on people's heads that people can see and observe, and then they begin talking with languages they never learned. And Peter stands up and explains what's going on by the power of the Spirit, and 3,000 people get saved. 3,000. And then Peter starts going to church. Now, this is all happening before church. And he starts going to church, and there's a homeless man, and he's saying, hey, buddy, could I have a dollar? And Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And grabbing him by his hand, he pulled him up, and his feet and his ankles were strengthened. He began to leap and praise and give thanks to God. And when all the people saw it, they too gave praise to God. It's like, what? A miracle. And then 2,000 people more join in and receive Christ. So now we got a church of 5,000 in 1 week. Don't think you grew fast. In 1 week. And I'm thinking, miracle after miracle after miracle. But let me tell you something that attends miracles. Are you ready? Problems. Yep. Often miracles come wrapped in struggle paper. They come wrapped in major problems because it made men mad, and so they threw Peter and John in prison. Remember James and John, sons of Zebedee? So they throw Peter and John in prison, and then they grab James, and they're about to execute James. Just to let the people know that they're in charge. And you think about that. Now Herod kills James. has him executed in public. And the people are so bloodthirsty, they want more. So they arrest Peter, throw him in a dungeon. He's in line next for an execution. Miracles come wrapped in problems. But I want you to remember this. Every problem, every miracle in the Bible began with a problem. Think about it. And maybe because they had so many problems, there were so many miracles. However, in today's world, we love to eradicate problems. Even the first vestige of a problem, we want that thing gone. Because convenience and a problem-free life is our goal, isn't it? I mean, you don't even have to get up from your easy chair. Alexa, turn on the radio. Google, turn on the lights. Hey, Siri, call my wife. I mean, everything is like automatic. If you got a problem, I'm sure there's an app for it. So everything is done easily. I mean, it's crazy. I called the doctor the other day and it says, you know, thank you for calling. And it's all automated, you know, ABC medical group. And then it says, if this is an emergency, call 911. I'm thinking, this is not an emergency. I'm trying to get to my doctor. And so our menu has changed. So if you would please listen carefully to the following. Number one, if you would like to schedule an appointment, say or press one. Pause. If you would like to pay your bill, say or press two. Come on. If you would like to schedule an appointment with a doctor, yes. Say or press three. Three. I press three. Thank you for pressing three. If you'd like to go to our website, you can schedule. So I said, why do you think I called you? Is there anybody alive at this office? I'm thinking, what is going on? And it makes people even more intolerable, right? You're mad now. And every little thing gets you upset. I mean, like getting stuck behind someone going 40 in a 55 mile an hour zone. It's like that's when Christians lose their salvation. Isn't that right? It's just like, no, 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 don't do that. Or you get a call, you know, and your mother-in-law is coming for a surprise two-week visit. And you just go ballistics, like, no, I can't, 911, I can't do this, I just can't do this anymore. We just have no toleration. I was at a restaurant, and I hear this barking, arr, 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 and I'm looking around, who's got a dog? Arr. It's the lady's cell phone ring. So now I'm eavesdropping, I'm thinking, who is this woman? Good night. Hello? Oh, hi, honey. Yes. Oh, yeah. Brianna's birthday, 1 year old, coming up. And I'm listening, right? Must be your daughter's, your granddaughter having a birthday party or whatever. And yes. Uh-huh. And then she changes her tone. No. No. No, I'm so sorry. Oh, no. That is so disappointing. What are you going to do? No. And I'm thinking, urgent care, something went wrong. She hangs up the phone. The husband goes, what's on? What's going on? The grocery store's out of chocolate chips. I thought, woman, I don't even know you, and my blood pressure just shot up 40 points. Good night. You know, and we live in a world where every little problem needs to be eradicated. You know, but I think about in the book of Acts, Peter, the apostle, is in a pickle. I mean to tell you, he is in a serious problem. Why? Because he's up next. He's up to bat when it comes to an execution. He's on deck. James has just been killed, and Peter's next. So in prison, he awaits his execution. But wait for it, because a miracle is about to happen. There's several kinds of miracles. There's miracles that happen instantly, and there's also miracles that happen eventually. You're about to see one. That every step of the way, Peter has to obey. It's almost like God does some miracles solo, and some he does in partnership. And these are more common. But you don't see it right at the beginning. Peter's not going to see it at the beginning. But you will, because I'll tell you the end of the story. But let me read for you a portion, and then your notes, if you can take out your notes, you'll have a portion that you can read with me in the midst of a miracle. So let's take a look at that, if you would. And let me read and give you some context. The scriptures right before you will read. Let me read. Now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Now it was during the days of the unleavened bread, and when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. So Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. And let's read this portion together. Go. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side, woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off his wrists. Let me continue. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and put on your sandals, your flip-flops, your Birkenstocks, whatever." And he did so. Glad. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and continued to follow, but he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. So he doesn't even know a miracle is happening. He's in the midst of a miracle and has no idea in the world. Let that sink in for a second. Well, when they had passed the first and second guard, they came to an iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. OMG. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And let's continue in that second scripture. Go. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." They were hoping that he'd be executed. And God delivered him. You know, sometimes God's going to put you in a condition or in a position or in a problem where it's a dead end, and without a miracle, you can't make it. Where you need God to intervene. And he waits for us to come to that point to say, "God, without you, I can do nothing." And God says, "Good, good, good, good." You know, God will never allow anything to touch your life unless he's already stamped it approved by God. It's already gone across his desk. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, it says, "No temptation has overcome you such as is common to man, but God will in every case and every temptation give you a way of escape and the ability to endure it." In other words, he's already inventoried that potential situation and said, "Bill's going to be okay. Joe's going to be, Sally's going to be fine." And he allows that to happen. Listen carefully. When you come to Christ, because you're in his hand, right? And he cares for you. When you come to Christ, nothing just simply happens to you. Things happen for you. Think about that. When you come to Christ, things don't happen to you, like at random coincidence. Things happen for you. Because God is still in control. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He's not off the throne. He knows exactly what's going on. Sometimes we think something is a huge disappointment. I'm in jail, or I've got guards guarding me. I've got chains on my wrists. And whatever the situations or circumstances might be that you can use a metaphor for, all of these things are just weighing me down. And sometimes we see it as a setback, but God has a different plan. For him, it's a setup. He's setting you up for a miracle. "Oh, what a collision." God says, "No, it's a course correction." You see, Wayne, you were going in the wrong direction. I had to intervene. I had to intercept. You see it as a disappointment. You see a collision. I see a course correction because I see something far more eternal than you just getting that deal done, getting that thing taken care of, buying that certain thing. I'm going to make your plan B be my plan A. And I'll put your trust in me. And so basically, he strips things away. Sometimes he brings you, listen carefully, sometimes he will bring you to a crossroad so he can reveal to you the cross in the road. Because what he wanted you to see was not the intersection. He wanted you to see him at the intersection. But sometimes he's got to get our attention. He's got to wake us up. And Peter was in a dungeon and he struck him in the side. He had nothing left. Listen, sometimes we don't know that Jesus is all we need until Jesus is all we got. And he wants us at that point in our life. And we, I got it. See, God will never allow a difficulty to come into your life unless he knows that there's some way he can use it for you. That doesn't happen to you, it's for you. Why? Because you're not in control, he is. And it's okay for you not to be in control when you put your trust in the one who is. You say, but it hurts sometimes. Oh yeah. But please listen, God never wastes a hurt. To him, it's a treasure. God will always use a hurt to bring you a future. The book of Joel says it this way, that whatever the devil has stolen, whatever the worm has eaten, God will restore. He will redeem. Oh, it's so easy to get discouraged sometimes when they're in the midst of a problem. When all you see is darkness and shadows and dead ends. That's all you can see, unanswered prayers and broken dreams. Easy to get discouraged, but if you'll stay in the faith and not get bitter, then God will redeem your disappointment. And whatever setback you experience, or whatever dream that got derailed, remember, God will never waste a hurt. He'll redeem them if you will let him. Always remember, and we'll come back to Peter because we're still in that story, but remember that there's two kinds of miracles. One that happens instantly and one that happens eventually. The ones that happen instantly make magazine covers of Christianity Today and all of the other Christian magazines because it's like, wow, lame man healed, blind man can see, one who cannot speak all of a sudden speaks, like, wow, instant miracle. Those happen instantly, but there's another kind of miracle that happens eventually. But they're more common. But we miss them because they're so common. And we get too impatient, we want it now, that we mess up the miracle. You see, miracles that eventuate or in process or there's a timeline to it requires us to be a part of it. God wants us to partner with him. Now, I want you to listen just for a second. I bet many of you are in the midst of a miracle, an eventuating miracle, and you have no idea right now. You have no idea. Just like Peter.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled In the Midst of a Miracle by Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll bring you the conclusion of this message on tomorrow's broadcast. In fact, spoiler alert, here's a sneak peek at tomorrow's program.
There's going to be time God's going to give you a gut punch to get your attention because you're drifting. And if he lets you go that way, you may miss a miracle that he puts you right in the middle of. A miracle in your health, a miracle for your emotional well-being, maybe your family, your marriage, maybe your future, maybe the legacy. He's putting something together and he needs us to be step by step in obedience to him. And if need be, he'll give us a gut punch and he'll say, get up. You need to pay attention to me.
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. We now leave you with a song from the New Hope Singers. Until next time, for all the family at New Hope, have a great day and aloha.
Is to take a hold of the person's hand next to you on either side. We come together as the Hawaiian word is ohana, as a group of people that are brought together by God, and we do life together. We can't make each other immune from the setbacks, but we can walk with each other through them. There's a word that we say to one another often. It's the word aloha. And it's a common word. It means it's a greeting, it's a goodbye, but it's more than that. The etymology of that word, aloha, alo means to be in the presence of. Ha is for breath or life. So they use that word. But putting them together, when we greet one another, it's like we're saying, we commend you to be in the presence of the one who gives life. And when the missionaries came and told them about the Lord who is the God of life, and he brings life, he gives life, even from death he brings life, then aloha started to become a word with such greater meaning. And we commend you. We usher you into the presence of the life giver. And so as you say that to one another, it has a lot of meaning. It's a blessing. It's more than a greeting. It's a blessing. We're going to pray. Let's pray. Eko ma ko makua I loko o kalani. E ia no au e Yesu e. Lord, we thank you for being our Heavenly Father. We're grateful for that. And Lord, we ask that your presence or your eyes would be upon us in this place, Lord Jesus. May your presence give life. Lord, where there is hurt, bring healing. Where there is sickness, bring health. Where there is an emotional darkness, bring light. Where there is hopelessness, bring hope. And Lord, we know that you're the one that invited us here. It's not just a theme of a service or a friend or a family. Ultimately, it will have been you that invited us here. And you would not invite us to a place wherein you don't have something very special for us. You invited us, didn't you, Lord? You use a family friend or a member, but it's you. Because you said, no man can come unto me unless the Father draws him. And so we respond to you. And through all the dances and through all of the singing, we're going to listen for your voice speaking to us words of life. Now, Lord, would you bless the one on our left and the one on our right? Bind us together as a family so that we can walk together and do life with each other. Thank you for that. And now, Lord, let your love, your aloha, be strong among us. Your presence, let it be strong here as we greet one another. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ, we pray and we each say, amen and amen and amen. Would you turn to two or three people, give them a handshake and a hug, and say, welcome, welcome, and aloha.